Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Love the Lord. Got your Bibles. Go to Luke chapter 24. Very familiar text. If you'll stand for reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know it. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sat? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Now notice verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day. And since these things were done, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which went with us went out to the sepulcher and found even so as the woman had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes was open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And he opened, while he opened to us the scripture. And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this morning, this evening. And Lord, we sure need your touch, and God needs your help. Father, you know my heart tonight. I want to please you, Father. Lord, I want to give you, Lord, my best. And Father, I want you to work, Lord, in the hearts and the lives of the folks here today. God, I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the Calvary for a little while. I pray you anoint me with the Holy Ghost of God. Well, let me say everything you want me to say. I don't want to say anything you don't want me to say. And then, God, everything it said, I pray to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ and draw men unto himself, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, you get the glory for everything it's done. All that's said, and God will thank you. If there's one lost today, I pray, God, you'd prick that heart. I pray you'd draw them to yourself, Lord, to see them get saved. Maybe some backslid, draw them home, God. But, Lord, you do what needs to be done, and we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to be real honest with you. Pastor called and several months back and wanted to know if I would do this. And the answer is always yes. Don't even call. Just be no. I'm coming. Amen. And he asked me if I'd do it, and I said, yeah. And I immediately started praying, asking the Lord to give us some thoughts and to guide us in the right way. And, man, it seemed like back in the 1st of December, the Lord just put this text back on my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I really thought it was just going to be for my church. I thought that was where it was going to be. But, man, as I preached it, the Lord said, no, you're going to preach it over at Amazing Grace. So I'm going to be real honest with you. For a good part of a month or more now, I knew where the Lord wanted me to be. And I've been listening to all the preachers, and man, what good preaching we've had, man, Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday. And I'm not going to say anything different than those men have said. And I'll be honest, I'm probably going to say half of the things they've already said. But if it's ever been good once, it's good a second time. Somebody say amen. And can I say, I just want to be a help to you tonight. And I want you to just see what the Lord's put on my soul. And I really wish you'd pray tonight that I could get it out, Lord, like the Lord's put it in. Now here tonight, I want you to see very familiar text. Man, two folks, they've left the Calvary. The Lord has died. 3 days later, he's resurrected. And man, here they go, walking and leaving Jerusalem. And they're on their way to Emmaus, man. And all of a sudden, we can think to ourselves, man, that's really kind of odd. You sit there and you think a little bit, man, if I was a Christian, would you not want to be in Jerusalem when the Lord got up? That's the place to be. But here we see these two, and they've walked out. And boy, I believe they're Cleopas there. I believe it's him and his wife. And we can study out further. I believe his wife was at Calvary when the Lord died. I believe she was one of the ladies there. So we're not talking about folks that maybe just come and pass in or just walk through. We're talking about folks that follow the Lord. And man, when the disciples didn't get to Calvary, man, how the lay the woman did. These is folks that went in. But now we find they're walking away. And when you see there in verse 24 and verse 17, or chapter 24 and verse 17, the Lord shows up and he says this, "Why are you sad?" You know, we look back in 2025 through the lens of Calvary and we see the resurrection. And boy, we think, man, there's nothing to be unhappy about. Is that right? I mean, listen, I'm going to be real honest with you. You really don't have, if you're saved and you're born again tonight, you really don't have a whole lot to be sad about. I mean, no matter what happens to you, if I go home today and die in a car wreck on the way home, I'm just going to graduate to glory. Is that okay? I mean, the best thing I've got looking forward is not on this world, but it's what to come. But, man, friend, there's a group here today. Hey, man, they're walking away from Calvary. They're walking away, excuse me, from the resurrection. And man, they're sad. And I want you to see the reason, man. They had some hopes. Things just didn't go quite the way they thought it would go. And I'm going to get that in a minute. But I want you to see in verse 31, the Bible said their eyes was open. And they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Man, they got a full picture of some things. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Well, here's my thought tonight. I'm getting a fresh look at Jesus. Now, if I was the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I was God, man, and I'd have saw them two people walking down Emmaus, I probably just have showed up in my glorified body. And I thought, well, that would have been a help to them, wouldn't it? I mean, can you imagine going down the Emmaus Road, and all of a sudden you look up, and there's a resurrected Jesus. I mean, how are you going to be sad? But that's not what he done. Matter of fact, the Bible said he's beholding of it there over in verse 16. Their eyes were holding. But if you'll go to Mark in chapter 16 and verse 12, the Bible said that he come in another form. It's almost like, Pastor, he did it on purpose. He transformed himself that they wouldn't recognize him. And I think to myself, now, preacher, why would that be? Why would the Lord not just give them what they wanted? Can I tell you what I think? Because from the rest of this text until they get into verse 36, friend, then it's not only the focal point is not on the resurrected Jesus, but on the Word of God. And you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. The Lord knew something. He come back. He was down for some days. But by the time you get to Acts in chapter number 1, he's leaving. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming back. No more will he show up and help him along the way. But he's got something he's leaving. The Word of God. And as he's walking through the scriptures with them, boy, that's the turnaround, really. That's the point that they go from sad to going back to having some hope. I want to preach tonight on this thing, a fresh look at Jesus in the scripture. Number one, I want you to see the revived hope. I know I've hit on it already, but you see in verse 21, man, they trusted that it been which should have redeemed Israel. Now here's these Jews. And here's the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, showed up. And man, can I tell you what? They're thinking, hey, what a day. No more is Rome going to have their foot on our neck. No more are we going to be second-class citizens. But man, we're going back to the top of this thing. I mean, the Messiah's here. I mean, the Christ is here. The one prophesied is here. And man, we're going to get things right back on top. But can I say to you, in verse 19, we find out, man, they said, he was a, you ain't heard of him. He was a prophet. Now what's happened right there? He's no longer the Messiah, but it's a prophet, man. They've lost some sight of some things. Things just not went how they wanted to go. Things just not went on like they want. And can you say, friend, what are you talking about? Well, simply, they're looking for a restoration of Israel. They're looking for their lives to be turned upside down. They're looking for everything that was wrong to be fixed. But here they are, the one that's supposed to do it all. He is dead, friend. And he's sad and messed up. You say, preacher, where are you getting at when the Lord shows up? He don't do a miracle. He just goes to the book and starts telling him about who he is in the book. I mean, there's no flashes out of the sky. There's nothing happened. He just simply expounded the scripture. You said, preacher, what are you trying to get at tonight? I'm going to tell you, if you want revival, listen. I think Brother Mark said it last night. He's dead on. Revival's not something new. It's in the word revive. It's already something that's there. If you're saved tonight, you've got the ingredients for revival in your heart. They must once been a fire, but maybe hopes fell. Man, have you ever just been serving God and things just not go how you thought they're supposed to go? I mean, you're doing everything right. You're praying and you're studying. And man, things just don't go how you think it ought to go. I remember many times, matter of fact, how I got here to Amazing Grace, a time in my life, I was just serving the Lord. Just doing what God wanted me to do, preacher. I was standing on where God wanted me to stand. I mean, I wasn't going to bow off of a King James Bible. I wasn't going to bow off to a woman preacher. I wasn't going to do those things. And I'm still not. Somebody say amen. And because of the stand that I took, friend, hey, folks that I loved, folks that I thought had my back, really just turned around on me. And I walked away and I remember calling. Matter of fact, I called you. And I said, brother, I just don't know what I'm going to do. It ain't supposed to be like this. I'm just serving God. Oh, but can I say, friend, it wasn't some kind of vision that helped me. Oh, but it was when I was alone in the prayer closet with the Word of God, and I got a new look at Him, and I saw Him again. Oh, can I say, friend, that'll revive your hope. Things in life ain't always going to go where you think they should. Ain't always going to be easy like you think they should. But can I say something to you? I might get to this in a minute, but you're never going to get closer to God on the mountain all the time. It's in the valleys is when you learn that you can trust that right there. It's in the hard times in life when all you got is the Word of God that you realize it is true. He does do what He says He's going to do, and He is a friend that never leaves. What we need tonight, revival, is a fresh look of the Lord through the Scripture. Can I say this, friend? I'm moving quickly. I don't want to preach all night, but I see they got a revived hope. But listen, there's a revived heart in this thing. And you say, what are you talking about? When I say heart tonight, I'm not talking about that organ in your body, but I'm talking that place, the center, that spiritual life of the soul, the mind, those passions, desires. We would say it like this if we was on the ball field. That guy that just never quits, and that guy that don't stop, that guy that just keeps on and keeps on, that man's got heart. Well, here you got folks, they've been walking with the Lord. And man, they love the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, the wives went all the way to Calvary. Peter ain't there. I mean, Matthew ain't there. I mean, Mark ain't there. But man, she was. I mean, it must have been something there. But here she goes, and they're talking back and forth about what's happened. And I can see the husband now. Man, I'm telling you, honey, I thought that everything's supposed to be fine. I thought by this time we would be, Jerusalem would be set up. We'd be in the millennial kingdom, and it's all going to be good. And she said, but honey, I just don't know, man. He's dead, and now they're talking about the resurrection. He's alive, and we can't find him. But man, there's just something ain't right. There's no hope. There's no heart. And they're leaving the very place that they ought to be. And I say something to you tonight. If you ain't careful, you'll let hope steal your heart. You'll let not having no hope steal your heart. And you know how you lose hope? You lose vision of the Scripture. I say something to you tonight. Listen, if you'll just stay in the book and you'll keep hope, man, you'll have some heart about you. But I see these folks, when they get back, notice what it said about them. Look in verse 33. Look at verse 33. And they rose the same hour. Now listen, they've been walking away from Jerusalem. They're leaving everything that they should be leaving, staying with. But when they see a fresh look at Him in the Scripture, I'll prove it to you in a minute. All of a sudden, they're going right back to where they ought to be. Hey, some of you tonight, and I hope I ain't trying, I come to be a blessing, but I'm just going to put what's on my heart, can't I? Hey, some of you tonight, man, and you're borderline if you're going to get out of church, or you're borderline if you're going to be on a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service. I'm going to tell you what happens. You miss a Wednesday night, you'll miss a Sunday night, it won't be long, you'll miss all the nights. Are we okay? Can I say what happens? You stand with, ain't there's nothing there for me. Things ain't went my way, and man, things is rough. I'm just trying to serve God. He ain't answering. He ain't moving. I just don't know what's happening, and you've lost your hope, and you've lost your heart, and you're going to walk out of this thing. But if you'll just get right there, you'll get right there, friend. That's where you'll find, like what Jeremiah said. Now, one preacher said this one time, I don't agree with him, he probably ought to read Jeremiah, but he said, if you never got anybody saved under your ministry, you're probably not a saved called preacher. I said, you probably need to read Jeremiah. Here's Jeremiah gets called into the rebuking Israel, and he's getting it done. He's preaching it straight, and he's preached and preached and preached and preached and preached and preached and preached. Ain't nobody doing nothing. I mean, it's not going the way he thinks it should go. I mean, a man of God's supposed to get up. Now, I know, preacher, you probably better than I am, but I get this way sometimes. I pray over a message, Brother Allen, and I pray over it, and I labor over it, and I come out there, and I deliver it, and I'll see folks in the pews. I'll see folks in the chair, and I can watch God work on their heart, watch God doing something, and then the altar call comes, and nobody moves. And boy, I'm going to tell you, that's discouraging, friend. There's old Jeremiah. Nobody's answering. Nobody's doing nothing. And he finally says, you know what? I'll speak no more in his name. That's being interpreted. He said, I'm done. You ever had a Monday morning like that? I'm done. I ain't going to do it no more. I ain't going back to preach. I ain't wasting all my time studying. I ain't going to pray all the time no more. I'm just done with it. Then he said, oh, he's a fire. That word of God's like a fire trapped up in my bone. I want you to notice he didn't say that it was the quartet that got him that way. He didn't say it was the choir that got him that way. And I love a choir and I love a quartet. Somebody say amen. But he said it was the word of God in his bones. You know what happened to Jeremiah? Boy, he got in that word. Hey, was something in that word that got the light and the fire in his soul. And friend, I'm going to tell you, he might have lost some hope and he might have lost some help. Oh, but he saw that, friend. He's ready to go on. I say something to you tonight. I'm preaching quick. I'm going to be done before I thought it was. We're all right? Listen here. I see a revived relationship. I might just pedal down right here for a minute. Now, here they are. They've been walking with Jesus, these people. Notice what the Bible says. Can I show you back? Let's look back here in verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. I mean, that's Mary and him going to the scripture. That they're hanging out with those people. We okay? And I want you to see something. They're walking with the live Jesus. I mean, just 3 days ago, they're walking and talking with the live Jesus, Brother Allen. Talking with him. Hearing what he's got to say. He's preaching the house down. They're listening to it. Wonderful relationship. Then all of a sudden, they come get him. And what happens is exactly what he told them was going to happen. They just didn't understand it. Then can I pause and preach you another message? Won't help you nothing. I'll try to help my pastor. You're not always going to understand what he does. You just need to trust him. If he's following God, we okay. I think about poor old David. I'd like to have me some water in Bethlehem. Man, they got together, went and killed Philistines, brought that water back, gave it to David. Here, David, here's that water. I went and risked life and limb for it. He goes, I about half aggravated me. We okay? But you may not always understand what the man of God's doing, what God's doing to him. Can I say something? It's his job to lead. Now, can I get back to the message now? They're walking with the Lord. He says, hey, I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to die. Okay. When he dies, they tell he's resurrected. He ain't there. They went to the tomb and they're walking home going, man, I wonder what's happened. They were just in relationship talking to this guy every day. And now it's broke. They're walking down Emmaus Road and it's hard to have a relationship with a dead person. Somebody say amen. They don't talk back. They don't comfort. They don't help. They don't give advice. I mean, seriously. And they're just, the relationship's gone. But he shows up and he don't see it, man. He starts going through the scriptures there, talking, and what he's doing is he is telling everything from Moses on up. Man, Moses, this is how he was a picture of Christ, this is how this is a picture of Christ. And he's just going through the scriptures, preaching about himself in the Old Testament. And he gets home and they sat down and they break bread and he takes some bread and he blesses it. All of a sudden he breaks it and gives it to them. And the Bible says their eyes was open and they saw him. But now watch this. He's gone. I find that weird too. Preacher, where's the relationship? What do you mean there's a relationship there? You say, as soon, brother, as soon as he gave the bread, they realized who he was. Matter of fact, that Bible said, let me go over and look at this real quickly here. The Bible says, and let's look here, and their eyes was open. I mean, that means, that, and they knew him. That means he had an intimate understanding of him. In other words, they didn't have the half-truth no more of him just being the Messiah in Israel, but now they've saw it all. They understand now that Calvary was planned, the resurrection's planned, and he is the Lord God Almighty. He is going to restore Israel, but there's going to be some church age right there. I mean, they get a full picture, and they see it, and then he's gone. Man, where's relationship at? Preacher, they didn't know who he was until he told him that. Oh, yeah, but wait a minute. They knew who he was. And they thought, man, that same Jesus that I just talked to, he met us back on the road to Emmaus. And I've been walking and I've been talking with him. And thus be interpreted, in the lowest part of my life, when I thought everything was wrong and I had no hope, and I had no faith, and I didn't know what I was going to do next. He was there the whole time. I didn't realize where he was. I didn't know where he was coming from. But right when I needed him, he was on time. Right when I needed to have it here from heaven, he was right there. Right when I needed, he ain't left. You say, preacher, can I tell you something? Boy, it's been the dark times in my life. Hey, when Psalm 23's got real, we okay? I mean, I've read it for years, and I've went over it for years, and I can quote it for time. But boy, it takes some struggles and hard times when you open the book and you really realize that the shepherd is in the valley of the shadow of death. He is walking with you. He really is there, and you can count on the Word of God. I'm just talking about a fresh look in the Scripture tonight. You say, preacher, I just don't know. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Can I testify on some things? It ain't been that long ago, about a year ago now, we went through the worst storm I've probably ever spiritually been in. I mean, I really thought it was going to bust a church up. That was bad. And I'm going to tell you something. I was low. And I remember coming home, and I'd get there in the house, and I'd cry, and I'd go to bed, and I'd ask Megan, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I'd just cry, and I'd say, I just don't know what to do. I had no Bible verse for it. I mean, I had nobody preaches on it. I ain't going to tell you what it is, but ain't nobody preaches on this kind of stuff. No, man, there's no class for when this happens. Pastor, it's what you're supposed to do. This is how you get help. And I'm just watching people hurt. I don't know how I'm going to fix it. But then I opened the book. And I got over in Acts 27. And I look over at Paul and said, listen, everybody's going to be safe if you don't get off a ship. And I thought to myself, man, I don't know about that, man. What's that? I just read it. And then I done something they call meditating. Now, don't get mad at me, preacher, because I promise you I was meditating. But, I mean, I got a little boy sitting back there, and, man, he's rambunctious at times. He's a boy, all right? Always wants to play football and tackle and whatnot. But Daddy just didn't know what to do about church. And Daddy was hurting, and the people was hurting. And I thought to myself, man, Acts 27. So I tell you what I did. I got me a fishing pole, and I walked down by my house, and I just started walking around this pond below my house. I wasn't catching nothing. Wasn't trying to catch nothing. But I'd throw that old thing out there, and I'd reel her in. I'd throw it out there, and I'd reel her in. And the whole time I'd say, God, I don't know what you're doing in this. God, I'm telling you, I feel like old Job. I can't find you. I've looked up, down, left, and right, but I don't know where you're at. But I've got enough Bible to know that you know the way that I take. And when I come forth, I'll be as gold. I'm telling you about that time, Acts 27, got real big in my heart. He said, boy, listen, just stick with the boat. Stick with the stuff. Keep going. You'll not lose one if you'll do what I tell you to do. I tell you tonight, through that whole mess, Acts 2 gone. On their own accord. You say, preacher, you can't trust God. Listen to me. It's in the midnight hour when you learn you can. I've never listened. I love to shout it out, don't you? Them circles you had last night, I love them. I like it when it gets so high. I remember over there at Brother David Edwards that time, and man, them Daughters of Calvary was singing, and I'm telling you, boy, it was just a floodgate. Matter of fact, you come with Miss Megan, you brought her up there, and man, it was a floodgate. They'd come. I like them kind of services, man. Oh, they get real high, but can I tell you, friend, that's fun, and that's a help, and I thank God for it, but it's a time when it's just you, and your back's against the wall, and you need something from God. I'm telling you, friend, that's where you're going to find Jesus. It's going to be in this book. This is how you see him. This is how you get him. It's right there if you want the relationship. You say, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You just get in the book. Can I tell you something, friend? I'm not perfect, brother. I drop a ball every day. But I'm telling you something, these storms that come on now, and my little old wife said, what are we going to do? I can tell you right now, I said, I'm just going to go on. I got no hope on it. I ain't worried about it. You say, why? Because I was on an Emmaus road, and somewhere he come by. He didn't show himself plain right off the bat, but he made me see him in the book. And when I got a picture of him, I'm telling you, friend, it was enough to make me want to go on. That one still, matter of fact, that'll still some commitment in you. I see a revived commitment right here to him. Look at verse number 13. The two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. When you get to verse 33, they're 180 in this thing. You hear me? When you get to verse 33, they physically took a 180 and they spiritually took a 180. You say, what are you trying to say? I mean, it got them beat down. It got them tore up. I mean, they was hopeless. They didn't know what to do. But when they saw a picture, listen, it wasn't about the Lord Jesus showing up miraculously. As soon as they knew who he was, he left. But notice what they said. Can I show you something? Look here. Look at verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened the scriptures. It was seeing him all through Exodus and all through Lamentations and all through Leviticus. It was seeing him like that. That was what got it going. That was what got their heart going. And then once they saw him, they knew immediately, I'll not be right here, but I got to get back. I got to go back where I'm supposed to be. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Maybe you've walked away. Maybe you've got out of the will of God. Maybe you've let that hard time beat you down. Look, but if you can see him, if you can just get to him and just learn, go back, just go back, and you'll be fine if you'll just get back. Just get back. But you're going to get a look at him. I tell you something, when I'm learning, going around the way, Pastor, my people are sitting back here. Now, this is my core people. I ain't talking to them, but hey, some of them, they need to hear what I'm about to say. We okay? They want the preacher to do everything. They want the deacons to do the praying. They got problems, but they ain't hit the prayer closet. They ain't hit the Bible. And you can preach and you can preach and you can preach and you can give them outline over outline over outline. You can pray and you can pray and you can pray. But until a man makes a decision, he's going to do it. It's about a lot of things. The Bible says hunger and those that hunger and thirst shall what be filled. Is that right? Knock and he shall be answered. Seek and he shall find. There's a little bit of a choice being made. I say something to you tonight. If you want that commitment back, am I okay? If I'm wrong, rebuke me, okay? But look at here. Quit trying to look for a better commitment and praying for a better commitment and praying that God will help you do that. Look, just look to get a hold of Jesus. That's what you need. Don't quit worrying about, Lord, I wish I'd do this. I wish I'd pray better. Look, you will pray better when you get a relationship with him, when you see him, when you walk with him. I'm telling you, the Bible said that he'll give you the desires of your heart. I think many times we think, well, hey, that means I get a bass boat and a Chevy. I don't believe that's what that means at all, preacher. I think the closer you get to him and the more you get to him, he'll put in you what he wants you to desire, and that'll be his will for you. But that only comes when you get into Scripture and get a new picture. Can I give you one more and I'm done? Matter of fact, if somebody starts playing the piano, I'm going to start hushing. Can I see something here? And some of y'all need to hear this too. He shows up and he says, boys, why are you in sad? What are you sad for? Now let's just think that for a minute. There's Jesus. They don't know it. Right? But Jesus says, what you sad for? I mean, the other day, my little boy come over there. He tore up on something. And the time he got there, and he told me what it was, and I thought to myself, son, what are you mad about? What are you upset about? It was bothering him. But the Lord asked him, what you so sad for? Now, he knows he's died and buried and rose again. Somebody say amen. Everything he said he was going to do, he's done it. He says, what you so sad for? See, if you lose your hope, and you lose your commitment, and you walk out, I'm telling you something else, you're going to lose your joy. Right. And I'm going to tell you something. I have more fun at church than anything I've ever done in my life. And the Lord's been good to me, let me do some fun stuff. It wasn't that long ago. I know we got some Alabama people in here, but I'm Rocky Top. Somebody say amen. Hit me. Woo, Rocky Top. All right? It wasn't that long ago. Me and my wife, our little boy, got to go down there to Rocky Top, get in old Neyland Stadium. He got to shake the coach in Heupel's hand when he come by. I don't know if he's more excited or I was. I was pumped. You know what I mean? We ended up, somebody stole this, true story, somebody stole their tickets. We had nosebleed tickets. Somebody got on Ticketmaster, stole their tickets. And my lying mama stole them. We tore to pieces. I just started praying, God, do something. They give us new tickets on the 7-yard line, on the 7 rows up on the 45. I was on the 7-yard line just saying it pays to serve God, crying like a baby. Folks around me thinking I'm crazy. I mean, I've had a good time. I mean, I'm serious. I had a prayer meeting right there on aisle 7 of Neyland Stadium. Had a good time. But there ain't nothing like this. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Some of the best services I had, some of the best joy I had, it didn't come from meeting like this. It come from, it was just me, my back against the wall, and it was just me, and God showed up, and it was just me and Him. And I've been riding down the road, shouting around, crying. Don't know how in the world I kept it on the road. I guess God started driving. But, I mean, that's the times. And you say, preacher, I'm going to ask you something. How can you be happy all the time? Why is it you get it? I don't do good all the time, but I try to do it. All right, you pray for me. Yeah, why is it when something bad happens, you can smile? Why is it? I'm going to tell you why a Christian can do that. It ain't because they're good. They've got a picture, a fresh look of it. I say something to you. You want your joy back? Are you tired of living a Christian life? I believe it. Maybe it was Brother Samuel preached. I don't remember. They preached this. Where are you going to die? You going to die in Egypt lost, in the wilderness miserable, or get over there in the victory? But friend, listen, you don't have to walk in the wilderness your whole life as a Christian. You don't have to be unhappy all the time as a Christian. Lord, this is the best life. I mean, listen to me when I'm trying to tell you. What is the? If I come down the road and ask, what's the most important thing in your life? You're real spiritual, you're going to say Jesus. But then you're going to say, my wife and my kids. We agree? Listen to me. I led my boy May the 15th of 22. Right there. I led him to the Lord. He got born again. And now, if my whole family dies, we're all going to heaven. Sadie ain't got that old enough yet. She going with me. Is that all right? But listen to me. If we go home on the way home tonight and the deer runs off, tire blows up, and the whole Honda minivan blows up and we all die, we're going to wake up in glory. What have I got to be upset about? I mean, money's tight, man. Joe Biden's been in office for 4 years. What do you got? I don't care. I'm going to heaven. I mean, listen, I'm not worried about it. I voted Trump, but look, he ain't going to fix it neither. I mean, it's all right. It's going to get worse and worse, the Bible said. But why does be upset? Why is your head down? Hey, come in the house of God with some joy in your heart because you've got a picture of somebody that died and was buried and rose again. Hey, to keep you out of hell, if that's all he ever done, that's enough to shout her out about. I'm just talking about revived joy. You say, I don't believe it. Look at verse 33. Look at verse 33. They're walking around. Why are you so sad and everything? Why are you so sad and everything? Well, you know, Jesus, he was going to redeem everything. He died. I mean, he's supposed to resurrect. And they said he was gone when he couldn't find him. I mean, it's just awful. He says, what are you so sad for? By the time you get to that verse, They've done come back to Jerusalem with a message. He is Lord and He's alive. He is Lord and He's alive. That's what He said. Listen, friend, that's the joy. I wish I could tell you tomorrow wasn't going to be a hard day. I don't know. I wish I could tell you that, man, it was going to be good from here on out, but you're going to have a hard time. Some of the greatest advice I got was from Miss Jan Barker. I went over there. She softened my heart with Tenderloin biscuits. She baked them for me when I went to Pastor Southside. I'm thinking about Pastor Second Church just to get more of them. Somebody say amen. But I got over there, and she just was blunt with me. She said, "Preacher, what you worried about?" So I'm going to tell you what I'm worried about. I just drugged my family and my little boy through some mess. I just was doing right. And I watch people. Not if you want to hurt me, hurt me. But keep your hands off my wife and my babies. I mean, I get upset about that. I'm in the flesh. Somebody say amen. It bothers me. And I drugged them through it, and I'd watch her heartbreak. And when I got done crying, I'd hear her sobbing over there. And my little boy had friends he never saw, never talked to it. Family see us go the other way. And I thought, I just don't want to get hurt. This is deep. Listen. She said, "Preacher, you're going to get hurt." I said, "Man, that helps." I had a Tenderloin biscuit and I was okay. All kidding aside, this is what she said. She said, "Look," she said, "Preacher, look, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt." She said, "I'm going to tell you this. It's worth every bit of it." You know where that come from, Bo Jonathan? That come from a lady that been in the prayer closet and got a picture of Jesus out of that book right there. And she's got joy in her heart. And I looked over at Meg when I got home. I said, "Baby, they're on to us. We got to take the church." Amen. You say, "How do you do it?" Right there. This is the message tonight. Pastor, I'm going to let you come on. If you want a fresh look, there's nothing magical about it. There's no secret formula. You just simply get in that book right there. And you open it up, and you get on your knees, and you say, "God, I want to see you in this book." And you beg God, Brother Mark said last night, just get to Jesus right there. And if you'll get to Him right here, you can take Him everywhere you go. But you're going to have to get a fresh look. Pastor, if you'll come, I'm done.